Well, I'm looking forward to this game today. It is Webb and Enoa, two good teams, the Giants and the Braves. We're joined by Tim Kirchen of ESPN. And, Tim, always a pleasure to talk some ball with you. How are you?
I'm well, Marty. How are you guys doing?
Well, so far, so good. It's the best record in baseball. What can I tell you? Even though a good half the country hasn't realized it yet, the Giants still are the best record in baseball.
Yeah, they're 38 games over 500. I mean, at some point, the whole nation is going to have to recognize that this team is really good. You can't fake it like this for this many games. They're not only really good, they're going to be really good in October because they have all the pieces that you need. They have great starting pitching. They have a deep, versatile bullpen, and they hit the ball out of the ballpark more often than any team in the major leagues. That's kind of the formula for how you win these days. So I still get asked, are the Giants for real? I'm thinking, this is the best record they've had at this point of like any season in Giants history. I mean, this is a really good team.
Yeah, they're playing over 600 ball every month. The last team to do that, you got to go back to Pistol Pete Reiser, Pee Wee Reese, and Dolph Camilli of the Brooklyn Dodgers in 42, who chased the Cardinals. So you're right, they've been very consistent all year long. The bullpen has been a big deal, and one guy who's overlooked him, and talk about him for a second, is Tyler Rogers in the eighth inning. He's a submariner a la Quisenberry and Tecolvay and people like that. But this guy, I'll tell you, righties give him a little bit of trouble, but the eighth inning is shut down when he comes in.
Yeah, and as you know, Marty, this is how you win in the postseason. You win with a deep bullpen, and you win with a deep bench. Davey Johnson used to tell me that all the time, because with all the pitchers you're using, you better have somebody who's ready no matter when you put him in. And the Giants clearly have the eighth and ninth inning covered, if not five through nine. And Rogers can pitch the eighth. He can pitch the ninth. They can mix and match with so many different looks and so many different arms. And Rogers is, you know, coming from the side like that, people are just not used to that crossfire action. That's one reason he has been so good. So that's why you really have to look at how the Giants get this done, because it's not done in all the customary ways, but they have the right person for the right spot, like, all the time.
Yeah, and analytically, if you look at the analytics of today that people are interested in, and ground ball rate, fly ball percentage, ground balls turned into outs, not chasing, blah, 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 all those things, honestly, they're in the top three or four of every category.
Yeah, and, you know, Marty, just the other day, Mike Yastrzemski hit his 20th home run of the season. I was struck by this, that he was the first Giant to get to 20 homers as a member of the Giants, meaning not counting Chris Bryant. And the Giants were the last National League team to have a 20 home run hitter, and yet they were leading the major leagues in home runs. The Tigers at that time were the only team that didn't have a 20 homer guy. But the point is, the Giants have more guys with like 9 to 19 homers than any team in baseball. It's amazing the depth that they have. It's a cliche, but 1 through 8 and sometimes 1 through 9 in the order, they can hit the ball out of the ballpark. And this is what Gabe Kapler has taught all along. Let's swing really hard at strikes, and something good is going to happen. And something really good has happened the entire season.
Yeah, that launch angle is huge. And we saw it against the Mets, all the fly balls they hit. I think, I forget who was in center field, was it Nemo? I think was going to set some sort of major league record for catching fly balls in the Mets series. So what about the playoffs in the National League? And I'm very impressed, I'll tell you, with Atlanta, and I haven't watched a lot of them, but their infield, everybody crushes the ball. They've got decent starting pitching. They've got a guy, Matzik, in the bullpen who righties can't touch, and he's a lefty. What do you think about the Braves?
Well, I'm really impressed with where the Braves are now, because they stumbled for about 3.5 months of the season. But at the trade deadline, they went and got relief help with Richard Rodriguez. But more important, they were the first team ever to acquire 4 outfielders at the trade deadline. And all 4 of those guys have been or are going to be really productive players for them, including Jorge Soler, who had another homer last night. The Braves are really hot. And even without Ronald Acuna Jr., they found a way to score a ton of runs. That infield, they have a chance to be the first infield ever with 30 homers from all four spots in the infield. And I'm thoroughly impressed with what the Braves have done lately. And as for the entire National League, my goodness, if the Braves continue to play this well, and the Brewers with that ridiculous starting pitching that they have, and the Dodgers who are great, and the Giants who are great, and whether it's the Padres or the Reds or someone else is the fifth playoff team, that's a stacked National League, and that just promises to be a great October in the National League.
Yeah, I think so. And I mentioned in the show the other day, David Bell for me. Man, to work that bullpen, which is the old arson squad of the Angels of the 60s and 70s, to get through a season with that bullpen, this guy, to me, I think Kapler gets manager of the year if the Giants hold on to this, but David Bell for me is second.
Yeah, if they make the playoffs, I think he's going to be second also because of the job he's done. It was some injuries and some pitching issues that they've had. It's amazing they are where they are. And, you know, they were in big trouble a month and a half ago, and he kept that team together. And now they're a very dangerous team with a relatively easy schedule moving forward. So you really have to think they have a chance to win that second wild card because the Padres schedule the rest of the way is really difficult.
Yeah, we got a lot of Giants, Padres, Padres, Dodgers the rest of the way in. What do you think of the playoff format? And I know last year, you know, there were, six, seven teams in there, and we had a three-game series for just about everybody. This year they can't agree on it with the Players Association, so we're back to, you know, two teams in and a one-game playoff. I miss the two or three, to tell you the truth. I think that baseball should be going back to that.
Well, I do too, Marty. I mean, I was sold on that last year, and I was sold on more playoff teams. I get it. It just doesn't seem right that baseball plays a season where there's always a series going on. There's never a one-game situation like there is in the NBA or the NFL. There's always a series, so why would you change that in the offseason? Now, I really do enjoy it that you get a one and done and you get a game seven feel on October the 4th. I really enjoyed that part of it. However, it's not going to seem fair that, you know, let's say the Dodgers might have the second best record in baseball and they're going to play a one and done in a wild card game. If things end up perhaps like this, that just doesn't seem fair to me, but it's not a really equitable system. There are flaws to it. There are good parts and bad parts, but this is what we have now, so we better get used to it. And I don't know if the two sides are going to get together and have a two out of three to start next year's playoffs or get eight teams in instead of five. Who knows?
I'm just hoping we have a season that starts on time with these guys. Believe me, that's, you know, with Marvin Miller going into the Hall of Fame on, September 8th, it brings everything back. And what do you think of Marvin Miller and finally getting inducted into the Hall of Fame?
Well, it's about time. I mean, he's one of the most important men in baseball history, given what has happened to the Players Association, where the salaries have gone and the rights that the players have accrued thanks to him. I mean, if it wasn't for him, you know, these guys wouldn't be making anywhere near this money. So you have to make a decision, like, what is the Hall of Fame? If it's a museum that chronicles the history of the game, which I think it is, then Marvin Miller has to be in. He should have been in a long time ago. And I covered the 81 strike, and Marvin Miller yelled at me a couple times, which I deserve, by the way, because I was like 12 years old. I didn't know what I was doing. But I really learned a lot about labor negotiations the hard way, by the way. But he was a brilliant man who really led the Players Association in the right direction, and nobody pushed Marvin Miller around.
No, if he learned his chops with the steel workers, and you can get that done, you can get anything done. So, yeah, I'm glad he finally gets his recognition, even though he told everybody once he passes to not elect him. But, you know how this goes. Leo DeRocher and other Pete Rose will be in the same situation once they're gone. I see that coming. Someone had a suggestion the other day, get your thought on it, that the voting for the Hall of Fame not be made public. So in other words, if you have someone who gets, you know, 72.8%, we don't know it. The electorate doesn't know it. And you just vote on the merit as opposed to, well, let's get the guy in because he's only got 2% more to go. What do you think of that?
Well, I think transparency is really important here. So I'm all for doing it the way that we do it. And as a voter, and I've been voting for 31 years on the Hall of Fame, I'm good with the writers saying, look, this is who I voted for. I mean, I think transparency is really important here, that you have to be accountable for your vote. Now, some of my friends have said, look, this is my vote and it's nobody else's business. And I totally respect that. But I think we need to know exactly who got how many votes, who voted for who and all that. And I think that's the best way to go. If there's a better way to do it, believe me, I'm open to it, because the voting process right now is harder than it's ever been, given the whole steroid issue. What do we do with these guys? And we could use some help as writers. But I think people need to know exactly what happened in the voting.
Okay. All right. Hey, one other thing that Mad Dog brought up this week, I enjoyed listening to him, and that is in the playoff format, you know, obviously if Giants, Dodgers, someone's going to come in second of that group, and they're going to have a tremendous amount of wins. I think they both have a shot to win over 100 games. They'll end up playing each other. So it'll be if one gets past that wild card game. So they're both in the same division, and they will play each other. So, you know, one versus four, so to speak. Mad Dog says, nope, you shouldn't have that. It should be reseeded, and you can't have it from the same division. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally understand that point. And but if you're going to start out with the Dodgers potentially with the second best record in baseball playing in a wild card game, it just doesn't seem to be right to reseed after they had to play a one-game playoff. Now, the Mad Dog makes a good point. There are a lot of good points made here. Again, there are pros and cons to every system. There are parts of this I like, parts I don't like, but this is what we have. And then, you know, we got a new CBA coming up in December, and all of these issues should be discussed. And I'm just not sure we're on the right page enough with both sides to get answers to all these questions.
All right. Well, I'll tell you one thing. This playoff is going to be amazing. I think we're heading for one of the best Octobers everywhere. And we talked, Tim Kirchen, obviously, with us, talked about the National League. What about the American League? We could be setting up here for a Yankee-Red Sox one game, too.
Yes, we are right now. That's where we are to be played at Yankee Stadium. But you're right.
How about that?
I mean, if it's the, you know, and then the Yankees, with as hot as they are, you have to think they're certainly a contender to go to the World Series. But the Rays right now are still better than the Yankees in a lot of different ways. The White Sox have a devastating bullpen, a dynamic offensive team, and three, if not four, really good starting pitchers. The Astros still arguably have the best offense in baseball. They can hurt you in a lot of different ways. So as much as I think the National League playoffs are going to be great, the American League playoffs are going to be just as good, because I don't think there's a prohibitive favorite in the American League. I think four teams, if not more, have a real chance to go to the World Series.
Yeah, you know, everyone's overlooking the White Sox. I'm glad you brought it up. The Kimbrell-Hendricks thing has not worked out yet, and it looked like a slam dunk once that trade was made, that the eighth and ninth inning, forget it. Well, it hasn't exactly worked out that way. Kimbrell struggled. He got a save last night, and Hendricks has had some trouble as well. But the guy I want to talk about a little bit with you is La Russa. How about the job he's done? And, you know, he does it his way and sort of stays out of the way, I guess, of everybody, and lets the team play the way they want to play, because he's not going to tell these kids what to do.
Yeah, I was a little amused early on that everyone said, oh, he's too old to do this. And I know I've known Tony for almost 40 years, and there's no way Tony La Russa would come back if he didn't think he could handle the job. And I spoke to Buck Showalter, who knows more about managing a game than almost anyone I've ever met, and he watched La Russa during a three-game series against the Yankees, and he told me, look, Tony hasn't lost a thing when it comes to the strategy of the game. But what he needed to learn early on is what he's really good at is getting the best out of his players, knowing what button to push and when to push it. He knew that perfectly with all his A's teams and all his Cardinals teams, and now he's learning this is what I have to do to get the best out of Yoan Moncada or Tim Anderson or whoever it is, and that's where Tony is the master psychologist. The bottom line is he has done a fabulous job as the manager of the White Sox. Granted, they have tremendous talent. They could have won with maybe a bunch of managers in there, but don't tell me he didn't do a good job this year, because he did.
Well, he's got guys. Now, when he had Canseco and people like that, he had Carney Lansford, he had Dave Stewart, Dave Henderson ran the clubhouse. Now, he's got guys like Jimenez, and he's got Robert, and, you know, the free spirits, Tim Anderson as well. I wonder if Abreu is the guy who keeps everything together. Because I guarantee you Tony's got to turn to some veteran somewhere to keep this team together.
Yeah, Abreu's the guy on that team, not just because he's the reigning MVP and is going to maybe lead the league in RBIs for a third straight year. He's the leader because everybody watches the way he does things, and they all follow him. And Albert Pujols called Abreu in the offseason and told him, look, Tony is really good and a really good guy. You should listen to him, and so should everyone else on your team. So Tony started out on the right level with Abreu. He trusted his manager from the beginning, and that has really helped, because when Abreu tells everyone else on the team, mm-hmm. you know, we haven't played for Tony, but he's really good. Albert told me so. I think that did a lot of good. At least that's what Tony told me.
Yeah, he's got to have someone in there, and I agree. It's Abreu. Abreu's got almost 100 RBIs. I think he's at 99 now. He's a big part of this, and I'm not sure he gets enough credit on this one. Hey, we talked about this on the show, Bruce Jenkins and I, a couple of months ago, Salvador Perez. And I said, he's a Hall of Famer. There's no doubt in my mind he's a Hall of Famer. When you look for the dominant catcher in the American League, give me another one during his era. And, Tim, the guy has got 35 home runs. He's in Roy Campanella, Mike Piazza territory now.
Yeah, he hit his 36th homer last night.
Oh,
he hit
36?
A grand
okay.
Yeah, it's all right. He hit a grand slam in back-to-back games. No Royal has ever done that. The only three catchers that have ever done that are Salvador Perez, Bill Dickey, and Mike Piazza. So he is a great. He's a great player. He's a great defender and always has been. He's a leader of that team, but he's become a much better hitter over the years, especially when it comes to power. And he's going to retire someday as a Royal. And you're right, with the way he's going, especially getting better as a hitter as he goes along, he's going to get strong consideration for the Hall of Fame someday if he keeps up the pace that he's on.
Yeah, I think in my opinion, I don't vote, but I to me, he's a Hall of Famer, and he's been the glue of that franchise. And again, give me another catcher in the American League, really, that can get near him. So I think he's had a tremendous season, and now he's on the map. Well, you were part of covering the Orioles, the 21-game losing streak in 1988. I know you've been interviewed about it. They got to 19, and they finally won a game, and then all of a sudden they won another game. But what did you think when they got to 19 and going with your past experience?
Well, it brought up a lot of memories from 1988. As you know, they lost their first 21 games to start that season. They didn't just set the American League record. They demolished the record for the most losses at the start of a season. It was an amazing year, and I looked at the Oriole team this year, and it's a really bad team. But the Oriole team in 88 had two future Hall of Famers on it, Cal Ripken and Eddie Murray. And they had some other pretty good players, you know, Mike Boddicker, Terry Kennedy, Fred Lynn. But from about 5 to 25 on that 88 team, they really weren't a very good team at all. And I still look back and think about that team, how that could have happened. It was just stunning. And to see it almost happen again in this day and age. But there's a lesson here, Marty, and it worries me. The Orioles are so bad, as are a few other teams out there. The gap between a really bad team and a really good team now is wider than I've ever seen it. And that's not a healthy situation when the Rays are 17-1 against the Orioles this year. I mean, that's not good. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And, I mean, this is what separates baseball from ball in football. No bad team ever came in and beat the Warriors with KD and Steph Curry there in their prime. That just doesn't happen on the road, but it happens in baseball all the time. It's happening less and less now because some teams are so bad and some teams are so good.
Well, we're getting into that tanking question, which is a subject for another show. But what to do about teams that apparently are doing? Look at Arizona. The Giants are 14-2 with Arizona, and the Dodgers are very similar to that. And Arizona now is starting to win games, but there aren't that many left with the Giants. They only have one series left, so we'll see where that goes. But the tanking question is something that baseball's going to have to deal with. So, all right, so give me a prediction. You know, we won't hold you to this completely. But if you had to pick the World Series right now, where would you go? And I realize with this conversation we've had, you can just about go anywhere.
Yeah, you could. Look, I'm going to be wrong on this. I'm always wrong. We're always wrong. Great. It's the beauty of the sport. There's no predicting this. So I just love the way the Dodgers are playing now. They picked up the best pitcher, Max Scherzer, at the trade deadline, and the best player in Trey Turner. I think they're going to the World Series for the National League. And, again, total toss-up in the National League for me. Total toss-up in the American League. But I'll go with the White Sox based on their offense and that power pitching that they have. Again, I know Kimbrel and Hendricks haven't worked it out yet, but they will. They'll score enough runs, and they have really good starting pitching. So I'm going to say the Dodgers are going to beat the White Sox in the World Series. But the bottom line is, I don't know. Nobody knows.
No, really. That's the beauty of being a talking sport. I'll say this about the Dodgers. They've got three pitchers, and they're going to need a couple more. I don't believe in Price and the opener. But I guess in the playoffs you don't necessarily need, you know, five starters. So we'll see where that goes. I'm going with the Giants and the Yankees. And it's the 100th anniversary of Babe Ruth versus John McGraw, the first Yankee World Series team. At the Polo Grounds 100 years ago. So I'm saying in the romance of baseball, Giants-Yankees.
Well, that's wonderful, and I love the romance of baseball. I love all these symmetrical things that happen, and I actually believe in that kind of stuff. But who knows what's going to happen this year, and that's the best part. We're 6 weeks away for the playoffs, and no one really knows what's going to happen.
Now, are you having fun at the Little League World Series?
Oh, I had a great time. I did about 7 or 8 games while I was there. Loved watching those kids play. They're so good. They're so skilled for 12-year-olds. The atmosphere wasn't the same this year without the international teams, without the fans. But that's still one of the highlights of my season when I get to go to Williamsport because it is so much fun to be around.
Beautiful. Hey, Tim, thanks for being on. As I always say, you can go toe-to-toe with Costas, anybody in the country, for your love and passion of baseball. I appreciate you being on.
My pleasure, Marty. Talk to you soon. See you.
All right. Thank you. All right. That's Tim Kirchen of ESPN. Bill Lasky is going to join us. Bill, you there?
I am, Marty. Good afternoon. Oh, great interview right there, Marty. Good stuff.
Yeah, that was fun. I know you've got Maria coming up, and she's waiting to talk with you, so why don't you introduce that, and then we'll move forward.
Yeah, we're going to talk some Giants baseball. Of course, the Giants losers last night, 6-5 in a real good game, but a real good road trip right now, Marty, a nine-game road trip, and they're 5-2. So we're going to talk to Maria a little bit more about the Giants and what's going to happen when they get home after they finish this 9-day road trip, and that's coming up next on KNBR, the sports leader.